This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Massachusetts ratepayers already pay some of the highest electric bills in the nation, and those bills could get even more expensive. Why? Well, that's because Eversource, New England's largest utility company, is asking for a $96 million rate hike. Joining me now to explain why and the backstory behind it is Peter Shattuck. He's director of the Acadia Center's Clean Energy Initiative. Peter, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Glad to be here.
Okay, so a $96 million rate hike on already really expensive bills. Why? What's Eversource looking for?
Well, this is the first rate case that we've seen from one of the region's largest utilities, as you noted, in a couple of decades. And it does come with that pretty significant price tag, about a 10% increase, looking for that almost $100 million of extra revenue. And then on a going forward basis, about $50 million each year thereafter. And some of this is, they're claiming this is left over from when they merged to create the region's largest utility. But a lot of it is just for maintaining the grid. So the focus has been on that rate of return that they're looking for. But they're also in this rate case, I think, important implications for Massachusetts' clean energy future as well.
Okay. We'll talk about that in a second, but I just want to underscore. So if this rate hike goes through, individual ratepayers could see an on average 10% increase in their bills?
Yeah, that's about right. So in the Boston area, it'd be about $8 a month, $108 a year. In Western Mass, it'd be more, about $13 a month. And there was actually an interesting piece that John Chesto had in the Globe looking at for commercial and industrial customers, it's a lot more. So he looked at a paper company that has about a $400,000 increase that they're looking at, which is creating significant concern.
Wow. Now, Attorney General Maura Healey is opposed to this rate hike. She's testified against it. And according to a press release from your group, the Acadia Center, you note that, quote, Eversource proposes other changes that exacerbate a regulatory structure that skews in favor of traditional projects over clean energy. What do you mean by that?
We have to take a step back to unpack that. The way our energy system works right now is that we overbuild the entire grid, all the power plants, transmission lines, distribution lines, to meet peak demand on a handful of days when there's maximum strain on the grid. And utilities are rewarded for building infrastructure under this traditional approach. But what's changed is that we now have a number of other tools that we can use to meet energy demand. Efficiency, solar that's being deployed, grid-scale batteries that are being put on the system. But we don't see a lot of that reflected in the Eversource proposal. It's more of a traditional, we will continue to overbuild the system rather than using these new clean energy tools in an integrated way. And that's manifest in this highest in the nation return that they're looking for, 10.5% guaranteed return on equity for building infrastructure. We're seeing other jurisdictions that are looking at ways to incent utility behavior better to optimize the function of the grid. We're not seeing that so much in this proposal.
Okay, so as much as people enjoy hating on the utilities because the utilities are the ones who are sending them the bill, are you saying that state regulation is really driving basically driving us in the wrong direction here? That it's state regulation that's allowing Eversource to say we need to have this 10% increase in order to build infrastructure that the state says we need that we may not really need?
That's pretty much it. I mean, this is Eversource's proposal, so we'll see what the state's response is. But they are a regulated monopoly, which means they have to come forward with their plans, and then the regulators, our Department of Public Utilities, weighs in. And so when I was referencing the split between what's happening in some other states, we're seeing neighboring states use financial incentives, so holding up a carrot for the utilities to say, if you can optimize the system, if you can use, say, solar on a hot summer day to meet that peak summer demand instead of building more power plants, transmission lines, we're going to give you an incentive to do that. We're going to give you a reward. And so there are little snippets, little encouraging pieces in Eversource's proposal. They're proposing to put, for example, a couple of big batteries out on Martha's Vineyard so they won't have to turn on dirty diesel generators for just a couple of hot summer afternoons. But it's not yet the systematic approach that we're looking for.
Which are these neighboring states that you're pointing to?
So New York has done a lot in actually linking the financial incentive for utilities to objectives like reducing peak strain on the grid integrating renewables, the sorts of renewables that we need to hit our climate targets and other performance objectives. In Rhode Island, they're having basically the engineers sit down and plan the grid around local energy resources. And out in California, they're doing a lot. They've had some challenges in the last couple of years, a nuclear plant retired, a natural gas storage facility that went offline. And instead of continuing to overbuild, they're doing things like deploying solar and storage and customer-sited
Peter
resources.
Shattuck, why is this not happening in so-called progressive, visionary, tech-forward Massachusetts? Sorry, I just got really in high dudgeon there. But what you're saying, I mean, look, it's ratepayers are already paying so much here. Why are, and we seem to like to think that we're on the cutting edge of stuff, but it sounds like we're absolutely not.
Well, it's the challenge of putting the pieces together. So we are doing a lot independently on solar. We've got a booming market. We're the number one state for energy efficiency. The state is looking at how to create incentives for grid-scale batteries. A great piece by Bruce Gellerman recently. But what we're not doing is using those resources in an integrated fashion to avoid the need to continue overbuilding the grid.
But that would require guidance from the state, though, wouldn't it?
That would require guidance from the state. A number of states have undertaken comprehensive, what they're calling grid modernization initiatives. And Massachusetts has dabbled with this a bit over the last couple of years. So I do give credit to the state, but we're not seeing this reflected in a comprehensive way in Eversource's proposal. So now the ball is back in the state's court to say, here's what needs to change. Here's where your returns might be too high. Here's how we can do a better job.
I'm hearing you say, or not say, that if you want to make an angry phone call right now, it's not to Eversource, but to state legislators instead.
Yeah, so the state has been putting on hearings. The attorney general testified. I was at one in Boston at the end of last week and drawing some concerns about some of these components, particularly this high return that Eversource is looking for, highest in the region, probably highest in the country, for just building more poles and wires. And then we're saying on top of that, you know, we need to make these changes to enable clean energy.
We need a plan for the future. We need a more comprehensive clean energy power plan for Massachusetts for the future.
Yeah, that's essentially it. And particularly, I know you're going to get into this later in the show, but with the Trump administration pulling back on basically every major clean energy and climate policy, the ball is in, the need for leadership is at the state and regional level. And we'll see how this pans out in the rate case. But if it doesn't happen there, there are also some legislators who are taking a forward-looking perspective on things. And so whether it's commercial pressures, regulatory pressures, or legislative, these issues are going to have to be resolved.
So that 10% for poles and wires, I think it's a very potent way of putting it. You went to the public hearing, the recent one. Did you get the sense that the Department of Public Utilities, which needs to, it's the body that's going to approve this rate hike or has to approve it or has the option to approve it, let me put it specifically, is it likely? Did they seem sympathetic to Eversource's proposal?
Well, it's a listening phase, and these are complicated issues. I will certainly grant that. Getting into exactly how the grid is managed takes a lot of expertise. They are in listening mode. This is going to be a 10-month-long process where hopefully they will be kicking the tires on every single expenditure. So we'll just have to see.
Peter Shattuck, director of the Katy Center's Clean Energy Initiative, talking to us about why Eversource is seeking a 10% rate hike in Massachusetts. Peter Shattuck, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.